everybody. Bill Buckmaster with my buddy Tom Fairbanks on the other side of the glass. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show, Wednesday. This one's easy to say for me, December 16th, 2020. A great day to be born, Tom Fairbanks.
Well, next to December 1st, I agree.
Which is your birthday, December 1st, yeah.
And then, of course, Christy Simone, what is this, the 5th or the 6th?
I believe his was the 8th, okay. Yeah. But anyway, I do want to do a big shout-out to my Facebook friends. They have been so kind and so generous. So many greetings today. It's just been wonderful. A great way to start off the day. It's Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios on 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, where you piggyback the live feed from kvoi.com. The Buckmaster Show live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's welcome now the chair of the Arizona Department of Transportation. He is also the founder and a shareholder of PICOR here in town. And Mike Hammond is with us. Mike, how are you?
I'm fine. Good to be with you, Bill.
And of course, the official name is Cushman and Wakefield PICOR, Southern Arizona's leading independent commercial real estate brokerage and management firm. Mike, I want to kind of divide today our time up. The first segment, let's talk about roads. The second segment, I want to get your input on where we are with commercial real estate as we wrap up this year. Beginning with roads, I was a little bit surprised, and I think a lot of people were surprised that read that story in Monday's Arizona Daily Star that overall Arizona roads are in pretty good shape. Did you find that surprising?
Well, I found surprising the ranking nationally. I was surprised we were ranked that high. I'm not surprised that we're doing as best we can, you know, given the nature and the objective way that ADOT evaluates their road system every year and prioritizes what they're going to be doing with the funds for the coming year. It's a very deliberate, very objective process. It trickles up from the district engineers of every district in the state, and they rate conditions. They pick the ones very objectively. It's not political, that need attention, and they take the limited funds that they have and divide it into three buckets. Obviously, the first is maintenance.
We have seen a huge improvement, I think, though, overall. The initial feeling 15 years ago before the Regional Transportation Authority was that roads locally here were in terrible shape. I think RTA's done a great job. They're three-fourths of the way into the program. The program has about five more years of shelf life. How would you say the roads are overall here locally?
Well, locally, the ADOT maintenance program has nothing to do with the RTA program. That's a total separate funding mechanism through the half-cent sales tax. I would say there's a few projects, but there are not many that have occurred since in the last 10 years that have not been funded by that half-a-cent sales tax. Virtually all the road improvements you've seen throughout this city and county have been RTA-driven, and they again are doing, I think, a fabulous job in delivering the promise. There's been a lot of folks over the years that felt we should divert funds here, divert funds there, and the RTA's position is this is what the voters approved, this is what we're going to deliver. The next RTA funding package will look a lot different than this one, but this one is actually on track, tight, but on track to deliver the system that was promised when the sales tax was passed.
And they're talking right now, different citizen groups talking about what that next package will look like, but I would say that maintenance is going to be really up there at the top of the list.
Yeah, right now there's the Citizens Advisory Committee, but also each of the five districts and the Indian Nation are putting together their priority package that'll come into the mix to be placed in with the recommendations from the city Citizens Advisory Committee. You know, one thing that's very clear is that the public wants a strong maintenance component that was not in the last RTA. So I don't know how that's going to play out, but I think, again, to get the 100% buy-in, we're going to need from the political entities around the city, around the county, We've got to have something that they can all support. And without a maintenance component, that won't happen.
What about our statewide roads? What are some of the success stories you've seen over the last year or so?
Well, probably the best thing I think ADOT does with limited funds is they've leveraged it with federal grants, with PAG, RTA money. There's been a lot of different Governor Ducey's put dollars into the system for state preferences. For example, SR 189, which is the new interchange at I-19 going into Mexico and Mariposa Road. That's a compilation of about five different funding sources. Right now, we're trying to finish that stretch between Phoenix and Tucson through the Gila Indian Nation, and that's a challenge, but we're going to be probably spending $50 million on that segment in the next 24 to 36 months. Also, MAG.
MAG being the
Maricopa Association of Governments.
Okay, and then we have PEMA Association of Governments here, which is PAG. Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
They're working on that stretch between, south of Phoenix, between the Wild Horse Pass exit and Riggs Road to start expanding that bottleneck on I-10. So I would say, it's the juggling act gets more difficult. And time is running out for some sort of funding, additional funding. But I have, in my 6 years on the board, I've been absolutely impressed with ADOT's ability to do as much as possible with their limited funding.
Is that project at the border now complete?
It's about half complete. It's a little ahead of schedule, and it's coming in
under
budget. That's
huge. That's a big boost to commercial traffic.
It is, and we compete for trade through our state and in our state with Tijuana and El Paso, where produce comes in. 80% of the winter produce that's consumed in the United States comes through Arizona, and we don't want that to go elsewhere. It's a tremendous economic boost to the whole economy, that trade that passes through and warehouses here, distributes here, breaks down the loads and sends them out from here. Texas finished a new border crossing, the first in, I think, 100 years, brand new border crossing, and is trying to attract the produce trade to go through Texas. Mexico also completed a large project through Durango, which cuts drive times from Sinaloa and Sonora to Texas by 2 hours, and they're trying to use that as a reason to divert trade from Arizona.
So Texas is going all in on this. I didn't know this about a new crossing. Would you know where that is in Texas?
Yes, it's through one of the large canyons that before you would have to. A good example would be going from Phoenix to Las Vegas through the Glen Canyon Dam, and that windy road. And if now we've got that large overpass. Bridge, that's very similar. They put in.
Oh, that's the Virgin River Gorge. Is that the one?
Yes.
Okay.
So, yeah.
That was a huge deal when that went through. So, what is the big issue going to be for ADOT? Of course, there's still that talk about the bypass from Mexico up to Phoenix, kind of bypassing Tucson. What is that called?
The I-11 corridor?
Yeah, the I-11. There you go.
Well, I think framing it as a loss for Tucson is, if it bypasses Tucson, is somewhat of a misnomer.
Ideas, right?
Yeah, there's going to be plenty of traffic coming through the existing I-10 corridor through Tucson.
Okay,
to take some of it off that's passing through the state, maybe going to Nevada, Utah, Northern California, is fundamentally, I think, a good thing. The big challenge on going west of the Tucson Mountains is obviously the environmental, the Avra Valley folks.
Yeah, that seems to be the least palatable environmentally, that particular choice, going west.
Well, it impacts the Saguaro Monument visually. Yep. You'll be able to see it. It's a very small, line of property.
Sure.
But it does impact the visual nature of and I get that. But bringing it through Tucson with a double-deck freeway or 10, you know, five lanes going in either direction, or that is immensely costly and ultimately.
And can you imagine the work going on at that time? That would pretty much shut down the I-10, yeah.
But keep in mind, too, that I-11 corridor's got a lot of work to be done before anything
gets built. Many years away, right?
So, yes,
many years away.
There's no funding for it.
No. But more in the than immediate for ADOT. ADOT also is responsible for our bridges, correct, mm-hmm. in this state? Are generally our bridges in need of repair? Are they in pretty good shape? What's the deal?
They're actually in pretty good shape. We get a bridge report every year also. And again, by the way, bridges are very expensive. It might be $35 to $50 million to replace a bridge. So putting them in the budget gets problematic when tight. And also a lot of the bridges that are are in the poorest condition mm-hmm. are in the northwest sector, which really serves Las Vegas and California.
Right.
But they pass through Arizona, so it's our responsibility. So we struggle with that. We'd like California and Nevada to pay for it, and they're not obviously open to that conversation.
But all right.
When you get outside of those bridges, some of them are in poor condition, which doesn't mean unsafe, by the way.
We're going to continue with our conversation mm-hmm. with Mike Hammond. Mike is with me in studio. He's the chair of the Arizona Department of Transportation Board. It's time to talk about my favorite bakery in town, Mike, and that's Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. On your holiday table, Mike Hammond, do you prefer a pumpkin, a cherry, pecan? What is your choice?
Well, actually, I'm more into the berries.
You do the berries?
Yeah.
All right. Well, Mona's Danish Bakery can certainly take care of that. Mona's is located at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, taking orders right now. Hard to believe, but Christmas Eve is 1 week from tomorrow. So wouldn't a wonderful Danish Kringle, and they come in some great flavors like almond and cherry, wouldn't one of those Danish Kringles be wonderful on Christmas Eve morning? Or certainly Christmas Eve day, or the day after, which is known as Boxing Day. So check it out, monasdanishbakery.com, open right now for lunch, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. It's the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. We'll be right back with Mike Hammond.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
Hello, I'm Jeanette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is in the process of developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, and soon will consider which projects best address transportation needs across the greater Tucson region. As part of its ongoing public outreach, the RTA invites your early input on which projects meet regional goals. Learn more about plan development and provide input at rtanext.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. I want to tell everybody about one of our great longtime sponsors, Vero Amore. They have two great locations for authentic Neapolitan pizza and Noble Hops, craft beer and fine fare in Oro Valley. Bring in five cans to the restaurants for the Community Food Bank, and Vero Amore and Noble Hops will knock $5 right off your meal ticket. And here's another great, very generous promotion they're doing. Gift card, buy $100, get a $25 gift card. Happy holidays from Vero Amore Restaurants and Noble Hops. Mike Hammond is with us, the current chair of the Arizona Department of Transportation, the board. We have a call, Mike, concerning the I-11, Avra Valley, the impact to it. David, go ahead. You're with Mike Hammond.
Yes. I have done my own observation, and 90% of the traffic going down I-10 is generated by Marana. And if they built the bypass, it wouldn't leave the problem, because most of the traffic comes from Marana to Tucson, and it only takes a small amount of traffic off I-10. So the best alternative is the widening I-10 or double decking. I know a lot of people don't like it, but if they built the bypass, it only takes a small amount. You know, maybe stuff, the truckers that drive through would take that off the road, but most all that traffic is from Marana, and they just keep scraping their desert, putting in more housing subdivisions every month, and it's just getting worse and worse.
Okay, David, thank you for your comment. Mike, your reaction to what David has to say.
Well, I think David has a point. The study is focused on trade more than on local traffic, that's for sure. So there may be an emphasis on taking the trucking coming out of Mexico and heading north out of the central corridor of Tucson. But I hear what you're saying. There's and Marana's growing very quickly, so there's going to be a lot of traffic generated by that community.
All right, let's go back to the live line. By the way, our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Carl would like to speak with Mike Hammond. Go ahead, Carl.
Yes, just out of curiosity, who is going to pay for the environmental impact statement for this thing?
Well, that's already been paid for. The environment, the number one, EIS 1, has already been paid for. And that came from, I believe that was ADOT funds. I don't think it was local funds. It might have been RTA money, but I don't think so.
We're talking again, Mike Hammond, about how far is this into the future? How many years is your guess?
Well, the EIS 2, which is the second tier of the study, will not happen unless there's funding, because that document has a five-year shelf life, so they will not produce that document without funding in sight. So, you know, who knows? I hope to live that long. It's going to be a while.
Mike Hammond is with us. Not only does he wears really a bunch of hats in this community. He's been very generous of his time, not only as the chair with 5 years, right, Mike? You've been on the board of ADOT, five years, wrapping up your term in the coming months. But, of course, Mike is founder of Cushman and Wakefield Pie Corps here in Southern Arizona. He's also a shareholder. How has real estate on the commercial end been? We know that housing, home sales, real estate just off the charts right now, and building, home building.
Yeah. Well, I can only speak for our company, but my sense is other companies have the same experience. It's been a good year for commercial real estate. Our revenues are maybe off 10%, and we still have, a good part of this month left over to make up that shortfall. Industrial's been doing very well. Contracting and all of the trades that that the contracting industry, how home building industry employs, they're doing very well. Last mile delivery, the Amazons, the Home Goods, the Targets are all looking for industrial space to put product before they distribute it throughout the community. Apartments, surprisingly, are very, very active right now. Both buyers wanting to get into the Arizona market because our population is rising. Sellers that may think the tax law will change that could impact taxation on commercial real estate next year. There's a lot of dynamics there. Office is fairly stable, but a little weird.
Office is really going to be weird and is because of all the people who are working at home.
Yes.
And we really don't know whether how much staying power there is to this work at home program.
Absolutely. And retail, surprisingly, has sectors that are doing okay. Restaurants are figuring out how to get food out, either by patio or by home delivery or by pickup. So there's a lot of hotel and hospitality. Anything in the hospitality industry or tourism industry is really struggling. It's a very two-tier market. But
boy, I look for that to rebound, though, after we get that vaccine in people's arms.
Yes, even, but they're predicting a slow rise because a lot of it is...
The recovery will be quite slow there.
A lot of people aren't comfortable with airlines. Sure. Businesses aren't going to put their salespeople on planes when they can Zoom.
Go back to retail for a moment. How are the malls faring through all of this? They were struggling, let's face it, big time before March and the pandemic. This kind of speeds up what some would say, Mike Hammond, is the demise of the shopping center that we know of, but it's being reimagined now, the concept.
Well, yeah, this remains to be figured out. But something to keep in mind is all of these mall sites, for the most part, are excellent pieces of real estate. They're centrally located, and there are going to be uses. There may be some short-term pain, but I think fundamentally, repositioning of malls is happening right now.
I hadn't thought of that, Mike, but the whole reason they're located where they are is because all the research went into this is a great area, great location in the first place.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go ahead.
So I think they'll figure it out. There's going to be a lot of short-term pain. The big box Penney's, JCPenney's, you see what Sears is happening, what happened to Sears. Walmart, Target, and some of these others seem to have figured it out. You're seeing entertainment go into malls, kind of lifestyle themes.
You could see housing, too, couldn't you, in certain areas?
Yes. Well, if you look over in California, you will find housing areas superimposed on top of malls.
Yeah.
You can look at Kierland in North Scottsdale, maybe as an early example of some of the mix between housing and, apartments and retail. And call centers have looked at some of these big boxes that have closed. The Sears, I believe, has some call center component in it at Park Mall. So, again, these are great pieces of real estate, and I wouldn't predict the death of those locations in the long term too early.
So it's really a good news story, though, for commercial real estate, generally for real estate in these hard times in Tucson.
Yeah.
And we need that good news right now.
Yeah, real estate, surprisingly, has been driving some of the good news out there that's keeping the wheels on the bus.
Mm-hmm.
Again, there are some areas, and we know we've heard this many times, there's very much a two-tiered system going on out there. Some are struggling mightily. Others are doing fine, and there's not a lot in between.
How much warehouse space is left? That's such a big area of the Tucson commercial real estate area. Are we down now below 10% availability?
Well, it depends on the sector. The office sector is probably the highest vacancy right now.
But for like a big warehouse?
Industrial vacancies are tight.
Yeah.
Small business, we manage over 5 million square feet of real estate, and I think our delinquencies are under 3%, which might surprise you.
Yeah.
So we'll see. You know, we'll see what if there's no stimulus package, how that's going to affect things. A lot of the assumptions are that there will be more unemployment and protection for these folks that need a few more months to recover.
All right, Mike Hammond, we very much appreciate all you do for this community. Mike be wrapping up his chairmanship with the Arizona State Transportation Board. He continues on as a shareholder. He is the founder of Cushman and Wakefield PICOR. And he'll be also very active with the Tucson Airport Authority. So a lot going on out there, and we'll hope for a recovery in 2021. Actually, Tucson has done better air service-wise in a lot of cities through this year. So that's not a bad story coming up. Mike, so much. Great to see you, and have a great holiday.
Thank you, Bill. Always a pleasure.
Thanks a lot. Mike Hammond with us on the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Jeanette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience, prioritizing social distancing and safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures that your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo. Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our midweek edition on this December the 16th. You know, one of the wonderful things about our great sponsors on this program, Green Things and Zocalo Village, I've been really hitting on this idea that a lot of people are alone this holiday season. You know, they're not going to have the friends and relatives with them. Why not drop off one of the poinsettias from our friends over at Green Things? And maybe a couple of them. Maybe you've got some folks in, next door or on the block. It would really cheer up some people who are going to have kind of a rather lonely Christmas. I mean, they grow 25,000 poinsettias this season. So stop by 3384 East River Road. Pick up a couple of poinsettias. Their website, greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. The Buckmaster Show Live Line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line to literature professor Aralee Sheehan. Aralee is head of the UA English Department. She'll be giving us some holiday book giving ideas. She's an award-winning writer, author of four short story collections, including Demigods on Speedway, published by University of Arizona Press. Her most recent book is Once Into the Night from the University of Alabama Press. She's also the author of two novels. Aralee, how are you?
Hey, Bill, I'm good. How are you doing?
Doing real well. Giving a book is always a great gift, and especially, I think, this holiday season when people are still kind of shut in. Could you give us a couple of suggestions of books that you think might make great gifts?
Yeah, absolutely. And I completely agree with you. It's a great gift. And it not only is wonderful for the reader, but it's also wonderful for the bookshops that you buy from. So I want to tell you what I'm giving my father, and I'm just crossing my fingers that he isn't here listening. He's in on the other side of the country, so I'm thinking he will not catch this. But there is a quartet of novels called the Neapolitan Novels by Elena Ferrante. Have you heard of that one?
I have not.
Okay. Well, it starts with My Brilliant Friend, and that one, I think, is the most famous of the four. And I am just about finished with the fourth one, and I could not put these novels down. They are so interesting. They are set in working class Naples in Italy, and the books start with girls who are just growing up in the 1950s in Naples, you know, not very wealthy or anything. And there's just something about the way that the city is portrayed and the characters are portrayed, and like the way the grocer relates to the tailor, relates to the shoemaker, that tells you so much, not just about their individual characters, but about the society. And so for people who are interested in history, it is a great read because you just get these wonderful girl characters. Their friendship is super unusual, and it spans all four books as they grow up.
And the books are packaged all four together. Is that the way it works?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. And if you feel, you know, confident, you can buy all four together, or you can just go ahead and buy the first. And that would probably be my suggestion, which is My Brilliant Friend.
My Brilliant Friend. And again, the author?
Elena Ferrante. And I'm going to spell her last name because we're not Italian, I don't think. F-E-R-R-E-N-T-E.
Ferrante.
So, yeah, Elena Ferrante. And it's just a group of four novels, all set in Naples, and it starts in the 50s. Really cool characters and a sense of history and place.
All right. Give us another one. A couple of quick books.
Okay. So I feel like in these days we're just really kind of looking for looking back at the things that can make us feel good, that are that can soothe our soul from all the everything, politics, pandemic, everything else. And a couple of books for me fit that bill perfectly. One is actually a University of Arizona book called Beyond Earth's Edge, The Poetry of Spaceflight.
Mm.
This is a book edited by a colleague of mine, Chris Kokinos, and Julie Swarstad Johnson. She works at the U of A Poetry Center and mm-hmm. is a poet. They're both poets and writers themselves. But they compiled this book, an anthology about books about space and flight and, you know, astronauts and the moon. And it's just so interesting and different. So if you have someone on your list who is interested in looking up in the sky and is fascinated by astronauts and astronomy and all those good things, this is a very cool volume.
And it's a good way to escape all of the stuff going on. I mean, what could be better than to think
Absolutely.
About outer space? And again, the book is called Beyond Earth's Edge, and the publisher, University of Arizona Press, right?
That's right, yep.
Okay, how about another one, real quickly?
Yeah, it's a real fun one. And then another is called Vesper Flights.
What was that one?
By Helen Vesper Flights.
Vesper?
The bird, the hawk, Vesper.
Okay, yeah.
V-E-S-P-E-R.
Uh-huh.
And that's a beautiful book of essays by Helen McDonald on things. It's basically nature writing, but it's also not just about nature. It's about us as people. What makes us tick, and she's just a beautiful writer, and it's just another way of looking outside of our houses, getting out of our little quarantine lives, and experiencing nature, experiencing the outdoors, and having a really good time doing it because she's a great writer.
And again, this book, I think I'm going to have to actually look this one up. It's Vesper, V-E-S-P-E-R, Flight?
Yes, Flights.
Flights. And the author?
Yeah. Helen McDonald.
And the publisher, do you recall that?
You know, I don't.
Okay.
I do know, though, that she also wrote H is for Hawk, which was a beautiful long essay that came out just a few years ago, which was about raising a hawk shortly after the death of her father, and how doing that was a very, you know, helpful and beautiful thing for her at that time. So she's a great, great writer.
Sounds
loves
good.
Birds.
Aralee Sheehan, always a pleasure, from the University of Arizona English Department, where she is the head of that department. I want to wish you a wonderful holiday season. We will talk to you again in the new year. Aralee, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye-bye, Bill.
Bye-bye.
Happy holidays.
Same to you. Aralee Sheehan, literature professor at the University of Arizona. Up next, Michael C. Flowers, certified public accountant. Mike's going to give us the rundown on what we need to know, and so much stuff in this COVID year that we need to know right now. And Michael C. Flowers is next on Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for the draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Guests appear on our live line, courtesy of Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. You know, so many people are dreaming of getting away. One of our longtime sponsors, they want you to be ready when New Mexico once again opens to out-of-state visitors. So please visit southwestnewmexico.org to learn about Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Only a three-hour drive from Tucson. I know you will be very impressed when you look at their website. You will not believe all the things to do, including the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. Really nice places to stay as well over there. southwestnewmexico.org. One of our longtime, in fact, day one, we call them legacy supporters of the program, Michael C. Flowers, certified public accountant with me in studios. Michael, always a pleasure. And during the holiday season, and I wish I could tell you this every day, thank you very much for your support.
Bill, it's my honor to be here, and thank you for all you do for the community. You do a phenomenal job for all of us in Tucson, and we appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Michael. Now, what do we need to know? There has been so much out there about COVID and there was stimulus. What? Give us the bottom line. What do we need to know for our taxes?
Let me start with businesses first, because they have the most critical thing coming up for them. as you know, many businesses were fortunate enough to get PPP loans. And originally, those were thought to be non-taxable. However, the IRS has issued an actual fact that those expenses that we use with the PPP loan money will not be deductible. And furthermore, they said that's the case for 2020, even if the loan's not forgiven until 2021. So many people that have the euphoria of having the money associated with the PPP loans are going to be unpleasantly surprised when it comes to tax time and realizing that they owe the tax on that amount of money. If the business happened to lose money.
These folks thought this was like easy money, man.
That everybody, it was a mad dash to the finish. And
sure.
Clients were...
And now you're saying they're going to have to...
You're going to have to pony up at the end of the year, but it depends. You know, if the business, let's say the business lost $40,000 and you had a $70,000 PPP loan, effectively on your tax return, you're going to go income tax on $30,000, the $70,000 you couldn't deduct, minus the $40,000 loss, because the government covered those expenses. So it's going to shock. We've certainly alerted our clients and are working with them diligently. But many clients were thinking of, well, I'm just not going to get the loan forgiven until 2021. And as a result, I won't have to pay tax on that money until 2022. But about 3 or 4 weeks ago, the IRS came back and said, no, it's a 2020 transaction.
Oh, wow.
If you know in 2021 what the ultimate result was, then you have the choice to correct it in 2021 or to go back to 2020 and say, wait, I picked up too much income because my full loan wasn't forgiven.
Hmm. What about the stimulus checks, those that got those? Is that taxable money?
The good news with those is that it's not taxable. And in effect, those were advances based upon the 2020 tax return that's going to be filed. So we had some people that didn't get the stimulus because of their 18-19 income. Either it was too low to file or they made too much money. But there's a second bite at the apple, if you would, when you file the 2020 tax return. And we need to find out from our clients if they received the stimulus and how much, and then we do a comparison based upon the 2020 results. So if, for example, they got $1,200, but then they got married and had a child, we'll be able to get the additional stimulus money with the 2020 tax return. So it's pretty critical that... you know, everybody files in 20 and certainly talks to their tax preparer about that one nuance associated with the stimulus. But the good news is that it's not taxable income.
There could be some money coming down the pike here before the end of the year, depending on this deal being worked out.
Highly unlikely, in Mike Flowers' humble opinion. Just, I don't think anything's going to get through that quickly. We have a couple of restaurant clients that are hanging on by the skin of their teeth. And
tough.
I asked them to hang in till January because I think by January, hopefully they have another opportunity to get a stimulus loan. And it's sort of unfortunate. There were businesses that really, really, really needed PPP loan money. And then there were other businesses that didn't need it as much, but they might as well have gotten it because it was a government program, and some businesses took advantage of that. But the ones that really need it, I think they're going to have another shot at it in January if the package passes and if it's effective, you know, early in 21.
How about other than the pandemic-related things? Is 2020 going to be any different tax-wise?
Well, I think the main... the main tax issue really focuses on PPP and COVID issues, which,
and we're not talking about personal right, protection equipment here.
Right, right. So essentially, I think what people need to do is look at their own individual situation. And you and I have different tax returns, and we certainly went over the tax planning with you, and we'll do something similar with our clients. But if you're sitting at home and, geez, I don't know how I'm going to do, just get out last year's tax return and go line by line and see what amounts have changed. Did you get a raise? Did you get married? Did you get divorced? Did you sell some stock? Did you have business income, et cetera, et cetera? And fortunately, there's still 2 weeks left to do some year-end tax planning. And if you get a hold of a CPA relatively short-term here, because most CPAs are unfortunately working pretty long hours trying to get to year-end tax planning. So I would encourage people not to call your CPA on December 31st and say, hey, what do you got for me? Because I think it's going to be too late at that point.
10 to midnight. Are you accepting? Yeah. How about listeners of the program? Are you accepting new clients at Flowers and Rieger?
Yes, Bill. We've been very fortunate to have many of your listeners take advantage of our firm, and we've been delighted to help them out. And in almost all cases, we know we've saved them more money than they would have paid in taxes had they not come to see us. So we are open for business. We do have enough staff, and we are encouraging people to, you know, if you haven't been to a CPA in the past and you have anything but a simple tax return, it's worth at a minimum a second opinion, if not having a CPA actually go through the tax return and get you set up. And then we're going to be ready for all the new tax laws that are going to come in effect in 2021 now that the presidential party has switched. And usually when there's a switch in party, the first thing they do is start to change the tax laws. And nobody knows what those rules are, and there's all sorts of guesses.
Yeah, and people can just Google, really, Flowers CPA, and that's going to probably, Flowers Tucson CPA, then they'll get to your site and where you're located. You're conveniently located. You're over by Costco.
Craycroft and Grant neighborhood, and I've been.
It's a nice area over there.
Yes, yeah. It is, Bill. And as you know, I'm a relatively shy person and rarely do anything outgoing. But if you Google my name, Flowers CPA Tucson, we have very good ratings on Google and Yelp and other sites. And, you know, people can easily find us. And I'm fortunate to have such a easy name as Flowers, F-L-O-W-E-R-S. So it's easy to find.
And your conference room, everybody wears masks when they come to the firm. And the conference room is, there's plenty of room. The table alone, it must be like 12 feet. So
yeah, it's about a 20-foot conference room, and we have plexiglass for our clients. And we're noticing that more clients are dropping information off, or we're doing Zoom meetings. We have the technology. We will accommodate a client based upon whatever they're most comfortable with. And if we do meet in our conference room, then we are masked up, and we do sit, I'd say, way more than 6 feet apart, probably closer to 12 feet apart.
And you'd be happy right now to take any calls from our listeners
and start
the process and answer some questions.
Just call our office at 327-8706. Ask for me, Mike Flowers, and just say you're a listener to the Bill Buckmaster Show, and we're not going to charge anybody to talk to him on the phone. If we happen to decide that we can help him out and do some work for him, then we'll get on the clock at that standpoint. But we're more than happy to answer any year-end tax questions that we can give some general knowledge to. And if we need real specific, we may request a 19 return so we can advise accordingly. But we don't charge for the first initial consultation.
Michael, thank you so much for your support over the years. We're celebrating our 10-year anniversary on January 4th. As we begin year 11, Mike, you've been there since day one. Thank you, and I appreciate it.
Bill, you've been a long, long-term friend, and I value our friendship as much as anything, and it's a pleasure to be on the show.
Happy holidays.
Same to you and Ann, Bill.
Thanks a lot. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of Michael C. Flowers, Tom Fairbanks, Engineering and Producing, I am Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon.